Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright. Okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. Our preview of the big NASCAR race coming up this weekend in just a few minutes. Our headlines here at the top of the hour, we'll get to it, but we lead with some breaking news in the last hour, Davis, as ESPN reporting that Dwayne Wade, the NBA All-Star, future Hall of Famer, and if I'm not mistaken, three-time NBA champion, is going to have part ownership of the Utah Jazz, which is just a huge surprise here in South Florida, Davis, and I'm going on to social media seeing all the people, of course, that I follow that are all from here that are just stunned. Now, Mickey Arison, who is the owner of the Heat, came out about 10 minutes ago and said that he's disappointed and that he had spoken to Wade about potentially being part owner when he was ready. At the time, he was not. He then went on to say he definitely supports Wade and everything that he does. He'll always be a Heat lifer, but you can only imagine when arguably the greatest athlete that's ever played, Davis, here in South Florida. I mean, I'm still a little partial, honestly, to Dan Marino. I know a lot of people haven't seen him play a long time ago, but it's one or the other. It's either Dan Marino or Dwayne Wade, and it's not close. But Wade over the last 20 years is the guy, and to see him leave essentially and root against the Heat, you know, going with the Utah Jazz, is a little bit of a stunner today. I have to say, a little bit of a stunner.
I mean, you know, Michael Jordan owns a huge chunk of the Charlotte Hornets. I feel like this is actually going to become more and more common because these guys are just businesses and industries unto upon themselves. They have so much money and they are, you know, I mean, no disrespect to the athletes of years past, but this is not doing local car commercials for Dwayne Wade. This is managing a multi-million dollar empire, and you got to make smart fiscal decisions at every single turn. You got to look out for number one, which I'm all on board for. I love seeing these professional athletes prosper and become part of the ruling class, you know, the oligarchy of America via their athletic skills and then, you know, parlaying that into power in the future. So I think, you know, more power to Dwayne Wade. I bet a big reason why he went for this Jazz offer is he just views it as a better business deal. They probably gave him a good price and he sees more upside in the Jazz. So like, I bet this was really just a business decision for Dwayne. And I am certain he didn't mean anything personal by it, probably with the Heat.
Yeah, well, we'll see. He'll have a press conference, I'm sure, over the next week or so when this becomes official. Looking forward to that one, no doubt. Okay, our headlines here on this Friday as we close out this second hour of the show. Fernando Tatis Jr. of the Padres, good news for baseball, good news for him. He's expected to return tonight. How about Knicks Mavericks, one of the headlines tonight in the NBA slate, 11 games there. We got the Braves Cubs starting in about an hour from now at Wrigley Field. And the news that we saw happen yesterday, Davis, that everyone is very happy to see, Anthony Davis of the Los Angeles Lakers cleared to return to practice. I remember when Davis got hurt. And the initial report was he was going to miss, what, 7 to 10 days, I think was the initial. And how long has it been? Has it been 3 months? It feels like it's been that long.
Yeah, and really could not have come at a better time. The Lakers are every day losing ground in the standings. They are 7.5 games back of the one seed. They are 1.5 games back of the Nuggets. They are 4.5 games back of the Clippers and only 2.5 games ahead of the Trailblazers. If they continue this tank waiting for LeBron to come back, they are 3 games ahead of the Mavericks. If they get down to the 7 seed, this is a nightmare. This is a complete and total abject disaster for LeBron James. This is a disaster for the Lakers franchise. You cannot be in the play-in game. You cannot leave it up to the chance of a 1-game playoff. LeBron is 36. We cannot be doing this with LeBron. We cannot be having him basically miss the playoffs for a season in his age. I mean, how many more years do we have left with him? 4, maybe, like 4 years of him being, an A+, a B+ NBA player. Like I can't have this. So Anthony Davis, like, I hope you're sleeping in the hyperbaric chamber. I hope you're getting your yoga and your jiu-jitsu in, because they're literally going to need him to score 35 points a night and be the best player on defense, both, because we cannot have LeBron in the play-in game. Like, I just can't handle it.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that. That's for sure. I guess at this point, is there any timeline for LeBron? Have they mentioned anything? Weeks? Like, what's the story there? I haven't heard anything in a while.
So the last thing that I heard of him is that he is going to be reevaluated soon, basically. So the update is we don't know, and we're going to reevaluate him again relatively soon. My thought is probably he just comes back at, you know, a week before the playoffs start. They just rest him as much as possible. They say, Anthony Davis, Kyle Kuzma, you guys do your thing. LeBron, get as healthy as you can and then come back for the playoffs.
Makes sense. Hopefully that happens, because you're right, man. That would be scary, a play-in game, and then a lot to go from there. Okay, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Jim Sanis of Number Fire is going to join us to give you a preview of the race coming up this weekend in NASCAR. And we're a week away, by the way, from the big race at Talladega, too. So make sure you stay on the grid for that. And then after that, Gray Albright will join us here on the show. We'll talk about who have been the top performers in baseball over the last couple of weeks. We got Fantasy or Reality, as well as the Sports Grid 60. We'll determine if Ronald Acuna Jr. can have the best month ever in the history of April baseball. We'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today. Stay on the grid. Don't go away.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a very exciting weekend upcoming in NASCAR, and of course, for those of you who follow Jim Sennis on Twitter, you know that you're getting some winning odds this weekend if you follow him on Twitter, as well as all his work over at Number Fire. He joins us each and every week here on the show. Interesting race coming up in Richmond this weekend. Let's bring Jim Sennis in to talk about it. Jim, good afternoon. Happy weekend to you. Looking forward to the race this weekend.
Yeah, happy weekend to you as well. Hopefully less rain in the forecast this time around. It's been a rough year for NASCAR. I know you can't really put a dome over tracks because of, like, you know, carbon monoxide and stuff like that, but, like, I feel like they got to be trying something because the weather has been really annoying this year.
Yeah. We saw the big race end up on a Monday, and we've seen that a couple of times with races move back, move forward. But opportunities are always there for this weekend. I know a lot of people were focused on golf last weekend, but this weekend, I think that there could be an opportunity this weekend at Richmond to potentially help you out a little bit in DFS. And also, of course, on the betting side. So let's take a look at the betting odds first over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And Martin Truex Jr. is +340 to win the race this weekend, followed by Denny Hamlin at 650, Keselowski is 650, Joey Logano 8-1, Chase Elliott is 8-1, and then Kyle Busch sits at 10-1. So I guess the first question is, why is Truex such a big favorite this weekend?
He's really good at this track, and he's also been good at the most relevant tracks so far this year. He's been good in Richmond for a while now, but he's led a lot of laps and eventually did find his way into victory lane. But the bigger thing for me that pushes Truex up is that he won both races on similar tracks so far this year. One in Phoenix, one in Martinsville. Those are the two races so far on short, flat tracks, which is the same package that we'll see here this weekend in Richmond. He was also in line to potentially win at Bristol, which was not a similar track but the same package. So he realistically could have entered this race having won each of the three races on ovals using this package so far this year. So Truex obviously in a good groove, at a good track for him. And I honestly think, like, I'm not going to bet Truex at 4-1, but I think it's a very defensible thing if you were to do it. My win sims have him at 19.6%. So it's very fair to have him at 4-1. I'm not going to get there myself, but, like, I'm very close to doing so because I think it is a justified number.
All right, so who do you like this weekend when you're simulating? Who are some of those either, you know, top of the guys or longer shots that you like this weekend?
I think it's going to be to go Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin is 6-1. He's actually number 2 on the odds chart behind Martin Truex Jr. They are teammates. And I think the discount there is enough to get me on Hamlin because he's been tremendous so far this year. They have had 4 total races using this rules package with the 750 horsepower package. Hamlin has had a top 4 average running position and a top 4 finish in all 4 of those races. And that's not a new thing. He was great in this package last year as well. Didn't run great at Richmond, but Joe Gibbs Racing as a team collectively seems to have made big offseason gains in this track type and in this package. I think that's been good for Hamlin. We saw that with Truex winning both those races. So I think that Hamlin's in a good spot. 6-1, I think, is a tremendous number for him. I also do like his other teammate, Christopher Bell. He is now 25-1 at FanDuel Sportsbook. He was 28. This number's coming down. So I think that if you are interested in Christopher Bell, I would bet it now, because it seems like that number may shorten even a bit more before Sunday, but it's for a good reason, because in the Xfinity Series, Bell ran 5 races at Richmond. He led 36% of the laps in those races. He won 3 separate times. He's been good in the 2 flat tracks so far this year, with average running positions of 11th and 9th. So you bring the Xfinity Series dominance he had to the Cup Series and a team that has made good strides in this package so far this year, and getting that for 25-1, I think is really enticing. So I think that if you want to go with not one of the favorites, Christopher Bell is a guy who does stand out to me at 25-1.
All right, let's continue the conversation. And, you know, the DFS is interesting this week to me, too, because I think that everyone is so closely priced this week that it feels like FanDuel may be giving you an opportunity this week, too. So let's take a look at that real quick. Truex, of course, at the top at 14,000. But look how they'll bunched up everybody is after that. Keselowski is 13.5, Hamlin at 1,300, Logano only 500 less at 12,500, Busch at 12,000. And Chase Elliott is 11,700. Even Kyle Larson is 11,200. Interesting to see Harvick on my list this week, too. I've been waiting for a Harvick run at some point. I know that he was the guy last year. So how do you build a roster this week in terms of DFS?
Yeah, I think the first question you ask yourself is, do you use Brad Keselowski? And the reason that he is kind of the talking point here is because he's starting in 20th. And that means that he has potential to get place differential. Place differential is big for fantasy because it's basically like free points. You take the finishing position and subtract it from the starting position. And Keselowski starting back in 20th, if he finishes 5th, the place differential points you get from that would be equivalent to if a guy led 75 laps, which is a big number. So you have to ask yourself, do you use Keselowski? If the answer is yes, which I think is fully defensible, he won here back in the spring, or last fall, we've seen Team Penske be tremendous on this package so far, I think that what you need to do is consciously make sure you have 2 other drivers starting towards the front of the pack who can lead laps early while Keselowski works his way forward. So to me, I think that you're looking at Keselowski starting back in 20th. I would be taking someone out of Truex at $14,000, maybe Denny Hamlin at $13,000. Maybe you go Joey Logano and go with the Penske or the Team Penske stack there. Also Chase Elliott starting in 3rd. You want to make sure you have someone who can lead laps. But I'd also add a second driver in there who can lead laps. And that brings us to the mid-range. Christopher Bell is $9,200. I like him as a winner. We talked about before from a betting perspective. But I also like him in DFS. $9,200 for a guy who's starting 8th. He's not going to get you place differential points, but I think he can win this race. I think he can lead laps, and you're getting that for $9,200. A similar discussion with William Byron at $9,700, though I feel better about Bell potentially winning this race than with Byron. So the first thing that I ask myself is, do I want Keselowski? To me, I think like if I'm doing a cash game, for sure I want Keselowski. For tournaments, I'm pretty good with him, I think, because the way he grades out at this track and the way he can work his way through traffic. But when I do so, I got to make sure I get him with some lap leaders, you know, someone at the front like another stud, but then also Byron or Bell potentially in the mid-range. As far as value play, I think it's a Team Penske there as well. We got Austin Cindric starting back in 38th. He is $6,000. Couple of runner-up finishes for him at Richmond in the Xfinity Series. It's not his best track type. He's, you know, he does well at other tracks more so than the short flat tracks, but he's done well there. Super low salary. So I do think that Austin Cindric is a good way to help you jam in more lap leaders if you do decide to use Keselowski.
You know, one thing I wanted to mention here, I know it's not on the betting, but it's more of just the overall scene. I don't know if you saw this story the other day, Jim, that the first female NASCAR driver since Danica Patrick is going to be racing in a couple of weeks. I believe her name is Jennifer Cobb.
Jennifer Joe Cobb, yep.
Yeah, I've never heard of her before, and so I'm very excited to see, obviously, any time that this happens. I think it's great for the sport. And I'm wondering, like, when we get to that, I mean, is she a great racer, good racer? I really don't know a ton about her.
Yeah, she's experienced because she's run a lot in the truck series. So it's an earned ride for her because she has done a lot of racing in the truck series. The problem is she's going to be in lesser equipment with Rick Ware Racing. It's not a super competitive team. So it's a situation where it is a Talladega, and at Talladega you can see teams with lesser funding do pretty well, but it's less so than Daytona. At Daytona, there are enough crashes where you can push some underfunded team toward the front. at Talladega, it's a wider track. You see fewer crashes. So teams like Rick Ware Racing don't generally have the giddy up to give you a really good finish there. So, I mean, I think that she's definitely experienced, which is good. She's in the right age range to be towards her statistical peak. But I think that just because the equipment, it's going to be tough to really gauge things because it's not the most competitive team she'll be driving for.
Okay, but interesting story. So I thought we would bring it to the show here today, Jim. I know that nobody knows more about this than you, so I thought I would ask. We haven't talked about it much this week on the show. All right, well, thank you, Jim, as always, for coming on. Really appreciate it. We'll check out all of your selections this weekend. I'm always rooting for you when I see the races go off, for sure. As you mentioned, the weather's been a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
But a lot of eyes will be back on NASCAR this week now that the Masters is in the rearview mirror. Thanks again, and we will talk again next week.
Looking forward to it, Craig. Talking Talladega next week, so that'll be a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so follow Jim on Twitter, at Jim Sanis. All of his work over at NumberFire, phenomenal job on that. And also, by the way, great baseball DFS selections as well throughout the season. So all the work Jim does is great. We appreciate him contributing to our...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Show each week. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today right here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. The effervescent Gray Albright joins us next to go over the waiver wire this weekend in fantasy baseball. So you never know what Gray will say. You'll have to stay tuned to find out right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Today, each and every week, if you want to find out who to stream in your fantasy baseball league, like meaning which pitchers to start, if you can find any, just go to Razzball and Razzball.com. Our friend Gray Albright joins us each and every week to go over some of his fantasy musings from the week. And Gray, it is great to see you here once again. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to see you.
All right, so I went into my auction in the one that we are battling against each other, jockeying in these huge standings in the second week in the 60-some-odd point, and I spent the most money in the whole league on Ronald Acuña Jr., and boy, I am feeling like that was the right choice, and I, you know, I didn't really go in with that plan, but my gosh, has it been since Barry Bonds, Gray, that we've seen this kind of hitting from any player? I know we've seen different spurts of guys who have gotten off to unbelievable starts and have hit 10 home runs in a month, but Acuña looks like he is unstoppable.
Yeah, no, I know. I was saying to someone that I think the Bonds comparison somewhat accurate for when he was younger, because Acuna's got the speed that, you know, the older Bonds didn't have. But Bonds, of course, had a much better eye at the plate. I think Acuna is probably not going to approach that on-base percentage like Bonds used to do with, like, at least early in his career. You know, guys, when they age, they start to get a little bit of better eye. So maybe Acuna will age into a better on-base percentage. But, yeah, no, for just sheer athleticism and, you know, exciting to watch. It's like, it's hard to beat Acuna right now. And for fantasy, you know, on the Razzball Player Raider, it's basically Acuna and then everyone else. Yeah. Like, it's not even close for fantasy value-wise.
Yeah, no, it's certainly amazing. Okay, let's go over to some things that happened during the week. I'll have your opinion on it. Let's talk about the two pitchers that threw no-hitters, Joe Musgrove, and then let's touch on Carlos Rodon. And look, Gray, for years, a lot of the fantasy community has been pushing for Joe Musgrove. I am not one of those. I never really thought that he would put it together like he has. And Rodon is just one of those guys that has to be a complete out of nowhere in 2021 for this to happen. I know everything is ticking up, fastball velocity, sliders working, but this one's a shocker for me, the second one.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think Rodon, the biggest issue with him was always his command. I want to say in his career, he had a roughly a 4 walk rate, and that just doesn't, it's just not going to cut the mustard. Do you cut mustard? No, probably not. It's not going to get the job done when you have, you know, major league hitters. If you're putting 4 on per 9, it's just like it's unsustainable. But if he can, like, reduce his walks, then there could actually be something there with Rodon. Because, like you said, I mean, we were looking at him in the ninth inning last night, and he was hitting like 98, 99 on his fastball still after 110 pitches. Of course, you know, the adrenaline was running, but he was really, like, he was kind of hitting, like, his fastball velocity was really impressive. I would say his command, I don't even think in the no-hitter his command was very good, or actually perfect game until, you know, the ninth inning. Like, his command was kind of all over the map. It's just the, you know, Cleveland hitters just aren't so good. So, yeah. They weren't taking pitches. They weren't working counts. Like, Rodon, I like him. I do. I think there's a potential here for him to break out if he can, you know, harness his control a little bit better. But he's probably going to have some, you know, he's going to have some blow-ups. He's not the safest guy for your fantasy team.
No, and I think that he'll be picked up this week if he's not, and probably 50% of leagues he's still available, which leads me to my next point here, Gray, is that the narrative always in fantasy, and I can only speak from what I've seen in the first 2 weeks of ads and drops in the Raz Slam and some of the others, is that you want to make sure that you budget your money correctly if you're using a free agent acquisition budget. But truth be told, has there really been anyone outside of Mercedes on the White Sox that has been worth picking up at all? It's a strange dynamic in 2021, Gray. You and I have been playing this a long time. There's usually a guy that in the first 2 weeks you pick up, he's a monster, he's the closer, and he saves 70 games, and everyone's so thrilled with it. And look, I know Naquin is a player that got off to a good start. Merriweather is someone who I added. I know he got injured, but it doesn't feel like there's a game changer that's been picked up yet. Or maybe I'm not on to something yet.
No, you know what's interesting is because of 2020, there was no minor league. So there's a potential here where, you know, the younger guys who would have broken out early on, they just are not necessarily up to speed yet. So they're either at the alternative camp or they're just not, you know, doing what they could be doing. I will say, you know, Badu looks really interesting. Tigers kill Badu. I think there's a potential here where he could possibly break out. Outside of, you know, you mentioned Mercedes and Merriweather, who is injured now. But, yeah, I think Badu is probably my best bet as of right now for a guy who is hitting well early on and could continue to do well. I don't believe at all Naquin is a fourth outfielder who's going to start platooning if Winker and Senso are healthy. So I don't trust the Naquin thing at all. But, yeah, I mean, Badu, Mercedes, Merriweather if he comes back. But other than those guys, yeah, it's a little bit difficult right now to see a huge breakout. I mean, you know, maybe someone might be saying Buxton, but his problem was always staying healthy. He was good before.
Sure, yeah. And owned by everybody now. It's like a non-discussion. I mean, no one's running, you know, to a fantasy league to pick up Buxton. He's owned by everybody. It's just a matter of where you took him. Yesterday on our show, I was talking with Davis Gray about Jake McGee and how he's leading the major leagues in saves, another position where we never would have predicted this guy to lead the league in saves. Have you been in on any of like the setup guys or ninth inning guys? I mean, McGee has been a surprise. I think Class A on Cleveland is a surprise for some that he's getting the saves. Melanson has five. You know, for me, I have Reyes. That was the one guy I ended up with. Bass on the other end, of course, on the L for Miami. But how do you see the eighth and ninth inning thus far after a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I never really pay for saves in all my drafts, and that's just something I've always done. So I got Melanson in a few leagues, which has worked out good. I got Daniel Bard in a couple leagues, which has been fine. I have, a couple shares of guys who have, you know, either been not good or have lost a job, like Rafael Montero could potentially be losing the job in Seattle with Graveman moving in. What I've noticed is with, you know, fab dollars, a lot of people go heavy. Like I saw Lou Trevino this week was a huge ad for a lot of people. And it's like, you know, these people are spending $150 on Trevino this week. Don't they know, like, next week there's going to be another closer that comes out of nowhere? It's like, why don't waste your money on, like, huge fab buys with these closers? Because as soon as Trevino comes in, he could either go out or someone else comes in.
And that's what happens all year long. And so to spend 20% of a budget this early in the season on that, I'm not sure is viable. But obviously, if a player gets called up that is unexpected, I think that's a big part of adding it all up. In terms of home runs, we saw a few players the other day, Gray, hit two home runs apiece. Aaron Judge hit two. Bo Bichette hit two. We talked about Acuna. Is it time to start believing a little more in Aaron Judge? Do you think that in mixed leagues, people who took him are going to be rewarded at the end of the season? I don't think there's any doubt, Gray. If he plays 140 games, he's going to lead the American League in home runs. It's just so hard to believe in the health.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole problem. I honestly can't imagine him playing 140 games. But if he were to play 140 games, it's hard to imagine him hitting less than 45 home runs. Like, it's just, like, I can't imagine him playing nearly a full season, or I guess for him that would be a full season, and just feeling like he's going to hit 45 homers for sure. I think the other guy you mentioned who had two homers, Bo Bichette, is really, like, he's, I think, emerging as a guy who's, you know, it's real early to be saying this, but I would be surprised if he's not a top five overall pick next year. Like, he's an easy 25 homer, 25 steal, 300 hitter, and probably upside from all three of those numbers.
Yeah, I took him and all of the other Blue Jays in the Raz Slam. Yeah. So some of that is working out, and then with George Springer, some of that is not working out, and that's the dynamic of it as to how that goes. Let's end with this as we head into the final second week of the season. Your teams, any other teams in terms of a surprise for you in the 2021 season?
I mean, I really like the White Sox, and I think they're, you know, we talked about Rodan, but I think they're actually, you know, as a team that could potentially go pretty deep into this year looking good. I mean, they just need probably one more pitcher, but yeah. I mean, I like the White Sox a lot. I think the Twins could surprise a little bit because, you know, they have decent pitching, but yeah, I mean, it's hard to say this early. Like, there's so many small samples. I'm just really looking to see, like, for, you know, breakouts and hopefully and some trends.
Yeah, and I'm doing the same as we go. Follow Gray on Twitter, of course, at Razzball, and great projections each and every week, streaming options over at razzball.com. Gray, it is great to catch up with you here on the Friday. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk again next week as we close in on the first month of the season being complete. Thanks again.
All right, talk to you later.
Gray Albright with us here on Fantasy Sports Today. You know what's coming up next. It's time for a little fantasy or reality on the show. And then the Sports Grid 60. And that will do it for our week. So if you have been with us for the entire hour and 40 minutes, trust me, folks, you don't want to leave for the next 20. We'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today here on this Friday in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7.
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day. Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Seven, as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, as it turns out, our producer, Brett Levy, was a little bit of a Nostradamus on the show today as the New York Mets, that video that it's making its way around the internet of them arriving in Denver last night for their game against the Rockies and it's snowing. The game indeed has been postponed for tonight. So Davis, no Jacob deGrom, DFS. It's like a heartbreaking night whenever the Rockies are not playing and there's a DFS slate, but time for you to pivot over at Daily Roto away from that game.
Yeah, plenty of time for us to think about it. And I think that it makes the slate a little bit more interesting now, you know, now that the New York Mets aren't going to hold up, you know, 20-25% of the ownership at a lot of those key positions. We'll have to go a little bit deeper down the slate. My tip for tonight, though, definitely the Dodgers. I mean, definitely check out Daily Roto to check our ownership projections before the slate locks. But I do think the Dodgers should be able to tee off tonight.
And honestly, I mean, when I think it through a little bit here with the weather tonight, I think I blame the Mets, you know? I mean, I think that it's just their fault somehow, you know, causing it to snow in Denver. And look, I mean, it's very easy to blame the Mets, and I'm just going to do it for this. I really don't have a good reason for it, but even though they haven't played, I think they've missed 8 of their 15 games that they've played so far due to different reasons. I'll just blame them, and it's just the easy thing to do. So there you go. Blame the Mets. All right, fantasy or reality time. Here we go. Phoenix Suns are leading the Pacific Division by 2 games, 2nd place in the Western Conference, 1 game back of Utah, 4th in the West. The Phoenix Suns, I think it was 2 years ago, were the worst team in the NBA, Davis. They were horrible. They lost like 30 games in a row or something insane. And right now, it doesn't seem, to me at least, like they're being talked about enough with some of the great players that they have, including this renaissance from Chris Paul. Fantasy or reality, the Suns are being disrespected in 2021.
You know, I guess the answer is probably that they are being disrespected relative to what their accomplishments have been thus far. But I guess that, you know, points out another problem
with this NBA season specifically, that we don't care that much about this regular season. 72 games, way more back-to-backs than intended. Guys are resting. Guys are missing games with the health and safety protocols. The Suns have had none of that. You know, their games played for their best players. Devin Booker, 51. Chris Paul, 54. DeAndre Ayton, 55 of 55. Mikal Bridges, 55 of 55. Their only starter who has missed any time at all has been Jay Crowder, who is not even an everyday starter. Sometimes they start Cameron Johnson. Sometimes they start Dario Saric. So, yes, they're being disrespected. That's a reality. But also, it's just a factor of this regular season. Everyone's waiting for the playoffs, and no one anticipates the Suns beating the Lakers. No one anticipates the Suns beating the Clippers. If and when that happens, we will, you know, retroactively change our opinion of this team for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. And look, I think that it's taken a couple of years, but Ayton has really turned into, I think, a star, and not a superstar, but I think he's got a chance to do that. Adding Paul was a big move for them. But you're right, Clippers, Lakers, those teams are going to get more run. Nets in the East going to get more run. Boston too. There's just that trust factor there with Phoenix. And honestly, like, if you think about it, Utah's had the best regular season, but there may be a little bit of a trust issue there with them as well. I'm not sure. So I'll say yes, they are being disrespected, but I don't think it's to the degree that it's insane or anything like that. I think that Davis illustrated it pretty well. If they win a first round series this year, I think that things will change, even if they lose in the second round. But they've got to prove something, I think, to get to that next level. And then we can go away from the disrespected. And I think that's fair. Okay, Ronald Acuña Jr. yesterday hit his 7th home run of the month of April, and 14 is the Major League Baseball record, and Davis 15 would break it. So essentially we're talking about Albert Pujols. We're talking about Cody Bellinger. We're talking about some of the best home run hitters in the game who've had this phenomenal April. We have less than 14 days left. The Braves have less than 14 games left to end up doing this. He's probably going to need at least one multi-home run game to get this done. And that doesn't even factor in COVID. It doesn't factor in weather or anything else. But there definitely is a chance. So fantasy reality, Acuña will hit more than 14 home runs in April and break the Major League Baseball record.
Well, I got bad news for my friend, Ronald Acuña Jr. He is going to be playing in Wrigley Field all weekend. And Wrigley, when the wind is blowing out, it's a great environment. You hit a pop fly there, and it might just go ahead and drift all the way on out of that ballpark. However, as of right now, the wind is blowing in about 12 miles an hour right now, and it's expected to be a cloudy, windy, gross weekend in Chicago, which there are many of those wet April weekends that happen in the city of Chicago. So I don't know if he's going to be able to quite get to 14, especially because he is not playing in some nice, hot weather right now. So I love Ronald Acuña Jr. He's tearing the cover off the ball, but I'm going to say that this is a fantasy.
I'm going to agree. I'm going to say fantasy as well. I wouldn't rule it out, and I think it could come down to the last day, but there's just too many factors in this day and age of baseball to be able to predict that can happen. And remember, if one game gets rained out, the next time he plays, he's going to lose two at-bats in 7-inning games. So I'm going to say he does not, but after this weekend, as you mentioned, things do lighten up a little bit for him. So maybe he could get there, but they are still going to have some days off. Really incredible to think that Bellinger just a couple of years ago did this. Pujols back, I believe, in 2006 as well. There have been several, Christian Yelich, I think. So there have been several players to hit 14, but 15 they have not. Also including some of these in March, like March 31st through April the 30th. So less than 15 days to go here for Ronald Acuña Jr. We'll see if he gets it done. I'm with you, though. I'm going to bet against this and say that he comes close, though. 13 home runs, 14 home runs, but 15, I'm going to say no. I'm going to go under that. All right, finally, Kanye West is having his Yeezy sneakers go to Sotheby's. Now, I am not a sneakerhead, so I can't particularly speak on exactly why this is happening. But apparently, the starting bid on these Yeezys are $1 million. I'm very well aware that buying sneakers and selling them and flipping them is a multi-million dollar business, and that kids can do this and make a few hundred dollars a pop on each pair, sometimes making $1,000 or $2,000. Yes. But I am more from the old school. I came up with a number that I think is fair. I'm not sure. Maybe I have not. You'll have to tell me, Davis. But you have spent more than $150 on an individual pair of sneakers, fantasy or reality.
Yeah, I'm not really a sneakerhead either. Like, I don't get on the Nike app and wait for the big drops of the new Jordans. I don't go wait out in line. I know eBay, very similar for sports cards. The eBay scene is huge for buying and selling sneakers. There are whole, secondary marketplace websites that exist just for sneakers. I'm not a part of any of that. The answer to this is still yes, though. I've bought a couple pairs that were more than this. I mean, dress shoes is different, but sneakers specifically, there were these Adidas sneakers a couple of years ago. That was a collaboration with one of my favorite rappers, Donald Glover. He's been in movies and stuff too. And he did an Adidas line. And I spent more than $150 on a couple pairs of those shoes.
What was my number fair, like as a barometer or no? Is it? I don't know these days what it is.
I think $150 is a fair barometer. I mean, right now, if you want to buy a pair of nice Adidas or Nikes running shoes, like not even collectibles, but just nice shoes, they're honestly probably about $150, maybe even more, which is wild.
Okay, yeah, I was going to do 100, and then I realized that I was nowhere close to that. I'm going to say that this is my number. Now, I've never been into buying sneakers, buying kicks. It just has not been my thing, which shouldn't shock anybody who watches this show. But I have been known to run and have been doing that for a number of years. And so whenever I do buy my new running shoes, they can come out to about $150. Sometimes I can get them for a little bit lower. Sometimes I can get them for a little bit higher. But I've never, Davis, gone above that. Like, I've never hit a pair of sneakers for like $250 or $300 or anything like that. And I get it. And I understand that there is value in that, especially even if you're just doing it to make a few bucks. But for me, it would be a fantasy. I don't know, Brett, have you ever bought a pair of sneakers for $150? I mean, Brett's in the – yeah, I was going to say Brett is around in the NBA. He worked in the NBA. I mean, there's no escaping that. What was your max, Brett? $300, $400? What was the most you ever spent?
I have Damian Lillard Bapes that are very expensive. I would say about $500 would be my guess. $500.
Right now. Davis, above that or no?
You know, I've spent more than that on clothes, like on a limited edition hoodie and things like that, like one of one stuff or, only 100 max of them, but never on shoes. Because shoes, I grew up skateboarding and stuff, so I'm so used to my shoes just getting trashed and ruined up that I've never spent that much on shoes. But I totally get the impulse, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It's never been a thing for me. You know who's really into sneakers and buying and flipping them is Mike Cardano. Unbelievable sneakerhead that we have here working for us at Sports Grid. I mean, he just is all over these sites all the time. He's texting me about buying sneakers. He's looking for FanDuel sneakers. He's looking for Sports Grid sneakers with the logo on the side. Picture of Dane Martinez there too on the sneak. I mean, it's like those things are going for like $800, $900, Davis. I mean, but you probably didn't know that, but it's true.
No, I had no idea. I mean, it's a good hustle if you can get it. I mean, just anything like that, buying and flipping shoes, sports cards, stocks, crypto, whatever. I mean, it just kind of goes hand in hand. Like, I feel like everyone here at the network has some hustle they do on the side, because it's just it's impossible to turn that part of your brain off. Like, you're just, everyone's always looking for an edge, Craig. Everyone's hunting for their edge.
That's what we do here.
That's all we do here.
But you're gonna have to give us a tutorial, if you can figure it out, by the way, on the Topps NFTs for next week, because I definitely want to do that. I saw Peyton Manning and Eli Manning have some NFTs they came out with, but I don't know. I just the Topps one seems simple enough for me to go on their site and buy them. I'm going to do it. I'm diving in next week. I have to do it. Have to try that. If I can get in, I have to try it. So before next week, that'll be a big topic of conversation, because these NFTs, as you mentioned, not as sexy, right? Like, there's no video. It's just like a digital card. So
they don't look good to me. They just look basic.
Good.
To
I
me.
Agree.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
I'm not that into it.
This is easy. Yeah, I'm going to try. We need a tutorial from you on that next week. Also, starting Monday here on Sports Grid, every day leading up to the NFL draft, we're going to do a feature on either a player or a pick, looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook, see where the odds are, and try and correlate them to teams. We're going to dive all in starting Monday. So Monday through Friday of next week, and then leading you all the way up until the NFL draft, we'll cover that for you as well. Okay, Sports Grid 60 is coming up next, and then we're done for the week. This week has come and gone pretty quickly. Off to the weekend we go with some basketball, baseball, and lots of sports betting. Also, great news seeing that FanDuel is now one of the official partners of the National Football League. Congratulations to FanDuel. Congratulations to the NFL. Congratulations to us. What does it mean for us? I can't wait to know. We'll be back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We are about done for the week here, but don't despair. We'll be right back here on Monday at noon Eastern, and lots of programming coming this weekend for you in-game live, game time decisions, help you out with all your betting this weekend on the NBA and Major League Baseball and anything else that you choose to do. Let's turn it over to Davis. We end on the Sports Grid 60. Davis, what do you got?
Well, I got one. I got one where I get to put my boomer hat on, where I get to act a little bit older than my age. There's something that people my age do that I don't understand and feel no impulse to share in this activity with them. Big trips for their bachelor and or bachelorette party, right? Or multiple days, you get on a flight, you do the whole thing, you got 15 people there, you rent a mansion in some city. It's too much. It's too much, man. Like, you're already going to be spending many, many thousands of dollars on the wedding. People are traveling there. Like, it's too much. You want people to buy suits for the wedding and fly to the wedding and do the whole thing and do the bachelor party or the bachelorette. It's too much. It's too much, kids my age. Grow up, millennials. We don't need this.
Oh, boy. James at LTN had a huge bachelor party. My gosh, it was unbelievable. I was there. It was just insane. But that's a story for another day.
Oh, James, buddy.
Yeah, he went nuts. I mean, I had to carry him out of there. It was crazy. It was insane, man. All right. I'm going to end the show with a little discussion on Dwayne Wade. I know that a lot of people are going to scratch their head and wonder how this happened, how Dwayne Wade, a Heat lifer, ends up being part owner in Utah. But Wade himself says this is bigger than basketball. So you can only imagine what could be headed down the road for the Utah Jazz. And certainly for Wade, it's always been more about basketball. For a lot of athletes, it is as well. It's going to be a hard pill to swallow for the Heat, seeing Wade potentially go to the playoffs, maybe even win a championship as co-owner of the Utah Jazz. But your heroes, every once in a while, are going to end up doing things that don't make sense. But in the end, you have to hope that they still end up having your back. And as Wade says, he'll always have love for the Miami Heat. That'll do for the show. Thanks again to James and LTN, for Brett, Danny, and Ryan, and my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.